Let's think about third, I think it was maybe the fourth line in what you were singing. I hear his voice. And that's a part of what I want you to look with me at this morning. 1 John chapter 1. For two mornings my thoughts were upon that dove that left the ark and went out all over the land hunting rest. And then that kind of dried up, but hopefully get back there. But just one verse in 1 John chapter 1. If you're there, would you pray with me? We pray one for another and for God's help. Our Father, we're very grateful for another opportunity to gather together. I will keep looking and longing and praying that it might be in the spiritual world as it is this day in the physical. And that is that the Son of Righteousness might arise with healing in his wings. I, not knowing my own heart, can never know the hearts of these. But all of us living without so little a working of thy Spirit, we may have all become diseased, even the very children, and unaware. Our heart may tell us one thing, and it not be true to us. For it is very deceitful. You said we can't know it. So would you this day, if it is pleasing to all hearts here, arise and in thy light we shall begin to see the darkness within. Things that ought not to be there. Things that should be there, but we're missing them. Will you convince us? You said when he is come, he will convince the world of sin, that can only be the world of believers. For the world at large will never be convinced of sin. He will convince us of righteousness, which lies solely in Christ Jesus, and of judgment to come. Help us this day. Open the Scriptures. Guide and direct. And grant unction in speaking. And living souls to hear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Folks, I'm not going to get political. That's not the agenda here. It never will be my agenda as long as I have a right mind. But you saw a nation divided Tuesday. Half this for this one, half for the other one. And I told you last Sunday it did not matter which one went in. And I am still of the same opinion. If the one you voted for is in, that's okay. All of us have a right to vote our conscience. But it's not going to make an effect upon this nation such as will benefit the church. Now, I did not say I was against or for. I'm just telling you, it's not going to make a difference in the long run. They can't keep their promises to us. And when the judgment of God is set against a nation, we could put the most devoted Christian that's ever been on the face of God's earth in the White House, and it wouldn't make a difference. Now, where we are, and not for our great need as a church. In their afflictions, they will seek me early. It has not hit yet. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And God usually, normally, must get us all in the hog pen. And then awaken us so that we come to ourselves to see our need of the Father's house. But I don't want you to think that the direction of our nation will change because we put this one in office. It's not going to do it in the overall aspect. It's not going to do it. Which leaves you to find Christ in this day and your need of Him before the conditions really hit outwardly. And as the passage John read, that very verse, the Assyrians are coming into the land. Where will you and I be in that day? All right, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, and I want to speak to you about that we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, and the reason we're declaring it is that you also may have fellowship with us. Until you get to the place where you receive and believe that we have seen and heard, there can be no fellowship between us. So John is declaring unto them so that these can walk with him. And truly our fellowship, our communion, our communication, God talking with us, I heard his voice. We talking with God. Communication and fellowship also means joint participation. Now, if there's communion and two can communicate, it is because both of them speak the same language. I couldn't understand one that spoke in Chinese or Japanese, nor unless he or she trained, they could not understand me. And there could be no communion or joint communication. I can't talk with Larry about computers. Now, he has found out over the years that he's got to come way down off his high perch and speak to me in very simple terms. Push this button, go to this site, download this, hit run, hit save, put it here. So he came, he didn't know that at first because Larry's got a lot more patience now than young Larry Hatcher. He used to get mad at me. He'd get upset because I couldn't understand him. So for us to communicate, it's him coming down to my level where he's telling me in very simple terms, this is what I want you to do so that I can get you to this point so that we can proceed with this. And here it is God raising our language from one of earth to his language. Now he's condescending, and he always will be in speaking with us. But he said, now if you hear what I'm saying, if we're able to communicate, then you gotta come up to this thinking, because I give you a new heart and a new mind to receive that I'm saying to you. And folk all, or let me say about all, that we get today from the pulpits is what the preachers have read, or what they have been taught and how to outline and to exegete scripture and put in illustrations and always add a few little funny stories so that you keep everybody's attention. That's about all we get. And I like what the old departed Saint Tozer said, a scribe tells you what he's read, and a prophet tells you what he's heard. So these men, John and his company, are telling them what their eyes have seen and their ears have heard. Turn back with me. I got three verses in Ezekiel. Chapter number 3. Ezekiel 3. And verse number 17. Ezekiel and God oft in speaking with him always approached him in this language, Son of Man. You are by birth a descendant of Adam. You will throughout the remainder of your life be a son of Adam. And though I have called you, and I have sent you to proclaim that I give, you're still a son of man. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, because of that I have done and the commission that I have placed upon you, therefore, hear the word at my mouth. Now everybody else in the land is saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. Everybody else in the land is saying, it'll be all right. We'll get this thing turned around. And we'll avoid the great judgment of God set against us. But not Jeremiah, not Isaiah, or not Ezekiel. And it happened, as they said, Israel went into captivity. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Don't get that today. About all we get is a pat on the back and telling us how good we are and what a good job that we've done. Ezekiel 13. Again, the word of the Lord comes to him, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and the majority is going to always move in the direction that the majority is going in, but not God's servant, not the Lord's people. Prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. That which we have seen, that which we've heard, we're not inventing something new. We're telling you what God has told us, we're declaring that unto you. Son of man, we want you to say to the prophets, all of them that's going, prophesying out of their own heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. And here's what God had to say to them. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. One last, Jeremiah 33. At verse number 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. But this is the requirement of anybody that's going to be a watchman for my people. Thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. Not what the last generation said. Not what happened in previous years. Hear the word at my mouth. We're living in a different day. We're living in a new age. We've got to have direction of the Holy Ghost and application of Him in this our day. All the kings of the earth, you don't have to turn to this, Psalm 138:4, shall praise thee, O Lord, all the kings of the earth, when they shall hear the words of thy mouth. You ever heard God? In the stillness and quietness of your own heart. We are so occupied. You have to fight for a few minutes of quietness. And folks, sometimes it's good just to come sit before the Lord, not start talking to Him. That's right at times to speak with Him. But we never get quiet enough to hear the voice of God. Well, back to our text, that which we have seen and that which we have heard. Fellowship is based on my coming to agreement. God elevating my thinking from that in the natural raising my thoughts. If I ever fellowship with God, it'll be my coming into agreement with God's word and God's terms, and not God coming into agreement with what I think. We fix a God that agrees with us about just about on anything we want to do. If you fellowship with Him, whatever God calls sin, it is sin. No in between. What He calls black, it's black. What He calls white, it's white. And I got to see it in one of those two, and not in a gray area, or I do not fellowship with Him. And fellowship with God always brings us into fellowship with all His servants of old that walked with Him and heard Him and saw Him and wrote about what He said and what they saw. We come to agree 100% of the time. You disagree with any one of them, from Moses' first five books to John on the Isle of Patmos with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You disagree with any of them, you disagree with the one that inspired them. If God says it, it's so. If God says don't do it, then it's sin if I do. Or I lose fellowship with Him. And if I fellowship with God, it has brought me into fellowship with all the saints of God that ever wrote about Him, because they wrote truth. And it brings me into fellowship with those of post-scripture, post-biblical times, if they tell the truth. Over the years, as I've read commentaries and devotions of the saints of God, there's just been something in them that resonated within my own heart that said they're telling you the truth. And at times I've read others . The beginning of my walk, I was given, 40, 50 books of Oliver Green and John R. Rice and Jack Hiles. And I threw them all away. I made the mistake one time of giving a set of those fundamental writings to a young man that I have regretted ever since. But in talking with him, I know that he's past them now. Disagree with some of them on points I did. Sometimes it was because I had not been brought up to the level of that they were writing about. Were there statements in other books that I never fully agreed to? Yes. Calvin has got a few statements and did a few things that I could not see how it'd be possible, but did I throw away his works? No. I benefited from them. So it brings us into fellowship with all the writers, both Old and New Testament. It brings us into fellowship with all the giants of God that walked after those post-biblical times. And it brings us into fellowship with everybody that walks with Him. Everybody. We don't kick the little ones down because they don't see as we see. And we don't punch the young men in the face because they don't fully understand. We just give them time and know that God will bring them to full fellowship with Him as He reveals in Scripture Himself. Does that mean that I fellowship with everybody? Absolutely not. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11, Paul said. If you can fellowship with anybody in the world, you lose fellowship with God. Now, you can talk with anybody in the world, but unless they're a child of God, they've got no common ground. You've got nothing in common with them. You can communicate, but you're going to communicate on things that are not spiritual. Fellowship with everybody? No. John said, what we've seen and what we've heard, we declare unto you. God directed them where they should go. God directed them to whom they should speak. And God had already warned them, don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll trample them under their feet. And when they get through with that, they're going to turn and rend you. You know, shortly after a conversation begins, if you can proceed with your line of thinking towards the spiritual. Now listen to those that God calls as watchmen over Israel. Listen to the words of Jesus, John 10:16. He that heareth you heareth me. I had one a few years back that asked me for direction in a specific area. And I told them based upon Scripture. And you know what the response I got was? Well, I'll just wait till the Lord tells me. And you know the path of that one that would not receive? Downward till this person was completely out of the church. It's not that I am infallible. That's farthest thing from the truth. You already know that. But when you hear the truth, if it's even from a donkey or a rooster, you know that's God talking to me. But see, God's not talking to many folk today. You get quiet enough in your heart to hear the voice of God in the wind blowing. In the sun coming up. In the chirping of the birds. In the flight of the eagle. We've got one or two that soar around here now. But we got no heart to hear and no eyes to see. 1 Thessalonians 2. Were any of the disciples and the writers after Christ's resurrection were men with a sinless life, not a one of them. Will you ever have a pastor that is without sin? No. No. But God has given you discernment enough to recognize truth when you hear it. And even in my early years, when I was presented some things that I'd never heard before, I could not grasp them, but there was something within me that said, you can't overlook them or throw them away. And it's the same with you. Now, Paul writing, verse 13, chapter 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of Paul or of John or of Peter, but you received it as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And some of you can sit here and you can come up with arguments on some of these points why you can reject. That is, you did not receive it as the word of God. You know what I wished I could do to get your attention? Curse. None of you got beards, so I can't pull them out. Pluck out your hair. And say, hey, listen, God's got you here trying to tell you something. But we are training ourselves not to hear that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now here's the positive in this. God has never yet said anything that he didn't mean or stick a carrot on the end of a pole attached a couple of feet from the donkey's mouth to get it to follow it. That's not God. He's kind. He's gracious. He will give you all that he said. If he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, then it's your fault if you don't go. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the condemnation in the last day is going to be this, as Christ over Jerusalem, you would not come that you might have life. It's your fault. The old men of old said, if you go to heaven, it'll be God's fault. But if you go to hell, it'll be your fault. Christ didn't say, come, and you start, and then him bar the door when you knock. He won't do that. He's not that kind of a Savior. So the fault lies not with God, but with any and all that will not receive him and his words. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them that I sent unto you, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? You wouldn't.
They're in hell today because they would not come to Jesus. If you don't get to Him, then it's going to be your fault. And if you do get to Him, He's going to continue changing your thinking over your lifespan to come into total agreement with what God said, how God feels about it. And if God does not like this, it's in my heart, He's going to straighten it out. He's going to get you right if you're a child of God. So they declare, it's not John setting himself up or a true minister. The very word minister means servant. It's not John or one son of God acting as if they are superior over you or the big cheese and everybody bow to them or that they're the boss over Christ Church. It's not that. It's a fatherish thing from that. I'm not Lord over your faith. I'm but a servant. And normally, every person sent of God to declare, to see, to hear, and declare are from the lower class in society. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So the world will go after the brilliant men. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And God hath chosen the base things of the world and those that are despised to bring to naught things that are. And you trust in Christ is going to get you far above trusting me. But it is our trust in Christ that brings us on the same level to fellowship and commune with one another about the things of Him. So what we say is what we've seen and what we've heard, and we're telling it and we're writing it unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. Come where I am. Ezekiel, don't you go where they are. You come where I am, he says. And if you get here, you find out our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's only one purpose of a true minister. It's not to build a big building. It's not to fix it so that excitement is all about us. It's to bring the hearers to fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And then when they get there, then the writer or the proclaimer can fellowship with them. Folks, it's not even about you believing what I believe. Though we must all accept that this is the Word of God. We got a lot of preachers began at the turn of the last century that set themselves up as dictators over the church. lot of men that like to debate, preachers that like to debate, a lot of them that spend their time trying to convince, you've got to believe what I believe. No. I just want you to believe what God has said. Believe that God is, that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, that Christ is His only begotten Son, and you only get to a holy God through the mediation of His Son. Am I ever worthy in myself to come down here and speak to you about the things of God? No. Absolutely not. And I don't come down here to be a dominating figure so that all of you've got to bow to what I say. No, I come to declare so that you might come to fellowship with the Father and His Son and each other. You know why? Maybe I'm letting out of the bag what might be ahead for you. But you know why we've got so little fellowship in the church and so little of the Spirit of God? It is that the Spirit of God has no resting place for the sole of His feet. We've seen, we've heard, you must see, you must hear. Oh, how gracious is God to speak to rebels. You know how thoughts come in your mind of long ago? I remember laying at night thinking, well, it wouldn't be so bad if I could go to hell and spend 1,000,000 years there. If I had any hope of getting out, I could make it. But that word, eternal, eternity, it always followed when I'd said a number of years. God just let me stay there on probation. And if I proved myself, He let me out. And I kept hearing eternity. For all hope's gone. I don't know if I was awakened then. I don't know. But I know I liked doing what I wanted to do. And how kind and gracious is God to speak to a born rebel. And how sweet are those words to a guilty soul. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, that some of you would in your soul get up and make your way to Him. How sweet are those words? If you knock, I'll hear. If you seek, I promise you this, you'll find. No one's ever come that He refused, not one single soul. There's not a soul in hell, won't be one there, that's there because Christ rejected them. And how sweet are those words to the children of God that's been in a wilderness for a while, a dry, barren wasteland, desert place. And just let God speak. It's like those 70 palm trees in that cool water to Israel in the wilderness. Oh, the sweetness of the Word of God to a thirsty soul. And to you who have seen, what a sight for a poor, blind sinner. I once was blind, but now I see. What a sight. I know what I was. I know where I was. But now I see. When God has opened your eyes, He's like the, you were and you are this day, remain as the blind man confronted by the Pharisees. And he said, who he is, I don't know. But I do know that I was blind yesterday and now I see. Now, I don't know what you know of Jesus yet, but I know this, if you're His, the sight will continue to clear up. And then one day you shall see Him as He is. Well, they said, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. And that man that you profess that heals you, he's a sinner. The only ones God hears are those that worship and do it His will. Here's experience speaking. And a man with experience will always triumph over one with only a conviction. So here's experience speaking. Since the world began, has it ever been heard where one opened the eyes of another? Never a recorded instant. It had never happened in the world. And I know this, he said, if this man were of God, he could do nothing. You know that man? How gracious was he to you then? Grief of heart is that I owe my all. And yet I find wanting to keep back apart. What we've seen and what we've heard, we declare to you. Our motive is that you can walk with us. We two can communicate together. And I want you to know this. When we walk together, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.